This is St. Louis Public Radio. Deadly shootings this year have claimed the lives of more than 150 people in St. Louis, but families have been living with the trauma of gun violence for decades. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports, some grieving mothers find hope and healing through connecting with each other.
This is my daughter's establishment.
At this salon in the Ville neighborhood, Tammy Riley and her daughter are keeping the memory of her son Frank alive. His framed picture looks over the big hair dryers and weaves.
His nickname was Nitty, and so that's where the name came from, Nitty Salon 1 and Retail.
Frank was shot and killed in 2009 in a North St. Louis bar. He was 24. A poem he wrote when he was younger is placed high on the wall above the manicure station. It's clear Riley has it memorized.
Yeah, I love this poem. 24 things to remember and one thing to never forget. Number one is your presence is a present to the world.
Families try hard to hold on to those sweet memories.
Your life can be what you want it to be. Take the day just one at a time.
But mothers whose children are shot and killed face stigma, shame, and crippling fear. Frank died just blocks away from where Riley lived. She suspects men in the neighborhood knew who shot him, but none came forward.
I hated them. I felt like, why are you here? He's not here. Why are you still here?
Riley said living in the neighborhood where she lost a son was painful. She could never escape the memories of him inside her house. About a year after her son's death, Riley moved away.
I couldn't do it. I had to get out of that house. I had to get out of that neighborhood. And I started feeling guilty because I felt like I should have cooked more for him.
She couldn't stop second-guessing her own parenting. It's not unusual. Sharon Williams did the same thing after someone shot her son Mikey dead in a back alley in 2008. He was 19. Even though her family lived in the county, for years Williams had worked at community centers in the Mark Twain neighborhood. When her son died, she was running an after-school center next to Bell Fountain Cemetery, and she would bring Mikey to work with her. But Williams says he began hanging out with dangerous people in the neighborhood. She wonders if he would still be alive if she hadn't taken him with her.
I've been working hard to try to keep all these kids from getting killed, and yet I was unable to keep my own son from being killed.
Some parents say after a child is killed, they're consumed with fear of more death. Last year, Williams' youngest son, who was 21, came home and said some men accused him of talking to the police. That day, she sent him to another state.
I drove directly to the bus station, got him a bus ticket one way, gave him $200, and I said, stay with your dad. I'm done with this. I'm done.
That night, she was finally able to sleep soundly, but the shame remained.
The stigma of having a kid murdered in the street and people asking, you know, what did they do or what did the parent, was the parent into drugs? That's the worst thing to deal with sometimes.
That kind of pain is familiar to Maria Miller. 5 years ago, one of her brothers was fatally stabbed in prison. Then another brother was shot and killed that Thanksgiving. And then her 21-year-old son, Courtney, was shot and killed on Christmas Eve. After his death, Miller went to a counselor. She says it helped.
She's like, I'm just here to listen. And it was like a relief came up on me like, oh my God, someone just here to listen, not judge, not say this is wrong, this is right.
But she says other members of her family still haven't come to terms with the tragedy and they haven't sought help.
We were raised up to believe we're strong. We can go through anything. We don't need counseling. Something's wrong with you. If you go get counseling, if you go seek help.
The three women have all found comfort connecting with other families. Sharon Williams started a support organization called Healing Hearts and is seeking a doctorate in educational organization and behavioral health. Tammy Riley finds solace in prayer and is devoting herself to her family, especially her son's daughter, Frankie. And Maria Miller has poured her energy into advocating for social justice issues, such as prison reform. And she's busy raising her 8-year-old son, Caden.
Even though it hurts, but I have peace and I have joy. And that is what I was missing in that dark, deep hole.
For years, the anniversary of Courtney's death made celebrating Christmas painful. But last year, she says she was finally able to put up a Christmas tree. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.